There's a lot going on in the world today, and by a lot, most of it's bad, admittedly. A lot of things that we wish wouldn't happen or didn't happen have happened. Yesterday, we recognized the 20th anniversary of one of the most horrible events in our nation's history, at least. And it just makes us think, like, with all that's going on, how easy is it to be a Christian and how easy is it to follow God nowadays? I'm sure all those who've gone before us would say it's just as easy as it was for them. It's just as easy as it's ever been to be a follower of God when hard in the world right now where it seems like and who walks and lived may turn a blind eye. He or she won't walk in the kind of paths that will lead them down the path of destruction, the path of self-service, and the path of sin, separation from God. He goes on to say, nor stands in the path of the sinners. Taking part in the habits of the world is to separate ourselves from God. It's to scorn our faith and scorn the one who gave us faith to begin with. And as righteous men and women of Christ, we must do the best we can to keep ourselves. And he ends the first verse saying, and instead we'll stand at odds with those kind of people and proclaim what is truly good in this world. We read on in verse 2, but happiness comes from the Word of God. The Lord is the center of our lives, and as such, everything we do must be revolved around Him. Meditation in His Word should come naturally to Christians. And it may not be easy, but of course, as Christians, we're supposed to delve into God's Word and study and learn more about Him. Our thoughts and actions revolve around what He's given us and revolves around His law. He records in verse 3, planted by the rivers of water. When we think of trees, we think of these big, massive life forms that have, in some cases, endured for centuries. And the reason they're so big and strong is because their roots run deep. Their roots are huge. As Christians, our roots need to be in God. Our roots need to be planted in Him. Trees, like the psalmist records, are planted by the rivers of water. The rivers of water for us as Christians are the word of God that continually waters us and refreshes us when evil may overtake us. No matter what happens in our lives, we can look to the Word of God to sustain us and to keep us free from all the wicked things that happen in this world. We know, like the psalmist says, that the righteous man brings forth fruit in his season. Just like Jesus said later on in the New Testament, that those who bear good fruit have the goodness of God in their hearts. And those that truly love and serve God will by their actions and by their deeds bring forth fruits for His service, just like the righteous man recorded here in Psalm. And he finishes out verse 3 by recording, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. As long as we serve God and we walk the path of righteousness, we're not guaranteed an easy life, but we are guaranteed that in the eyes of the Lord, we will not diminish, we will not wither, we will overcome and stand. But now that we've seen what the righteous of the Lord do and what they look like, the psalmist finishes the chapter talking about the ungodly. And there's a lot that we can learn from these last three verses. He starts in verse 4 by saying, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Those kind of people who seek after just worldly gain, worldly reward, and worldly fulfillment will be unstable and will fall eventually. We can just look around at all the people that we see in headlines who either lied, cheated, or stole to get their way or to get rich. And we see those kind of people eventually, maybe not in the moment, but we know those kind of people are eventually brought to light and everything they do is known. And because of that, oftentimes, everything they've built or lied for falls crumbling around them. We read in verse 5, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment." Righteous living keeps us not only holy in the sight of God, but also clears our character to those we see in the world around us. We know the kind of people that are praised and lauded for what they do are usually those who do what the world will call good things. And then we know that these good things are the kind of things Christians should do. The kind where standing up for what's right, deeds that help others, the kind of deeds that serve God are the kind of things we should be striving to do. Those who follow evil face judgment from both the Lord and from the justice of men. At least we hope so. And even those who it seems like have done evil and not been repaid for what they've done will be judged eventually. Unrighteousness should not be allowed amongst us, and we should do what we can to stand up for the truth. He finishes verse 5 by recording, "The ungodly shall not stand in judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous." We know as the Lord's church that we should keep the church free from sin. We should keep ourselves free from sin and ungodliness. And it should be our job to encourage each other to overcome the temptations that we face, to do the best we can to be righteous and to live as God would have us to be, and keep each other accountable. The psalmist finishes the chapter in verse 6 by saying, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish." God has given us everything we need, spiritually, physically, and he gives us everything we need to live through his word. He knows this way that he's given us. He knows the actions of those that follow this way. And those are the people that will be recognized by him when he finally comes again. Those are the people that will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because they have been faithful in a few things. But the ungodly don't have that hope. They don't have those assurances. We know that those who are wicked or sinful will not hear those words from the Lord. They will not be comforted. And they will fall eventually for all the ungodly things that they have done. And this is why as Christians, we should do everything we can to keep as many people away from that fate as possible. We know that the Lord has commanded us to reach out to others and to save their souls. And it is up to us to bring them to him so that they can be cleaned and cleansed as well, so that they can have a hope of being with him. But as Christians, it is hard as well for us to undergo temptation. It is hard for us to face the evils of this world and remain unspotted. That is why we need to keep in mind, while ungodly means do bring temporary pleasure, The more and more as time progresses, more and more godly unpeople gain control of the kind of things that we hold dear. We look around in the world today, and the country that we love seems to be taken over by people who don't care about God, who don't care about what is good or evil, and they don't care about the Word of God. It seems to us that these kind of people care about one thing, and that one thing is themselves. And we see that in most cases, we're right. In most cases, people are only seeking riches. They're seeking to get rid, as they say, of the way of God. As Christians, we need to keep in mind that while these things may seem depressing or maybe even just hopeless to us, we know that God's already won the battle. He's already won. It's up to us to keep faithfulness to Him and trust in Him to know that He will reward us for doing what He's commanded. We know that righteous living will keep us pure in His sight and is what He will reward us for when all things end. Thank you.